Today, as we come to the table,
he got up early that morning and went to pray. And by the time they found him, where have you been, Jesus? Everybody's looking for you. Remember that? I can imagine the Lord just kind of smiling, shaking his head. Don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business? What are you not getting, guys? Hadn't you figured it out yet? Interesting. The pastor has to be a part of it. This is not saying the pastor is not a part of these things. Really, here's the thing I would say. Priorities. And I bring this now to your personal life and your family. Priorities, priorities, priorities. What are your priorities? Set them in order. Figure them out. If you have to put it on paper, put them on paper. You know, first comes God, then comes my wife and kids, you know, then comes the ministry. The ministry stirred in my life.
If asked, how would you rank the various activities in your life by order of importance? Is work coming before family? Is God taking a back seat to everything else in your life? If all of that is reversed and you're following God's prescribed priority structure for your life, then great, keep it up. It's not always easy to do. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. For the rest of us, Pastor Mark will be emphasizing today the importance of placing God first, always. He'll remind you of how Jesus oriented his life and how the Scripture continually places your relationship with God at the forefront of everything. He's even more important than your family. God should always be number one. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 18 as he continues his message, The Blessing of Delegation and Church Authority.
The foremost thing that a pastor is called to do is study and pray. Now, a lot of it comes both ways. Pastors need to be disciplined to do that, but I think sometimes people expect the pastor to do that. But the pastor has got to set up priorities and put boundaries up for himself. He needs to be available, but he also has to make sure that there's that time that he's in the office. And I hear different pastors call it different things, you know, and what they do, and they shut things down, they close the door, turn off the phones, or do whatever. And a lot of times you come out of that situation, and everybody, in quotes, is looking for you. And where have you been? And why aren't you answering your phone? And blah, blah. And the list goes on. It's like, because I've got to feed the flock of God. And that is my first and foremost call by the Lord. If I fail at that, all the other things don't matter. I remember hearing a pastor one time saying, I'm so busy now with counseling and all the church busy work, I don't have time to study. And the counsel that the other pastor that was there said is, then turn it over to your assistant. You go ahead and do all that. Do it. But turn it over to your assistant. Let him become the senior pastor. And he was kind of shocked by that. He said, why would I, you know, why? He said, because somebody has to study and pray and feed the flock. And if you don't have time for it, let him do it. That's why a pastor has the assistant and the staff and the others. So he can do that. And so Moses here didn't have time for that. Any leader has to be able to delegate those duties if he or she is going to fulfill what God has called them to do. And you know, as a pastor, it's interesting. I get a never-ending flow of invitations to either lunches or meetings or events or different ministries all over town. And although all of them are very important, I decided a long time ago I'm going to set a limit on it. I want to be involved in things going on. I want to. But if I went to every single luncheon or meeting or pastor thing in town, I can tell you this, I would never study. I would never study. And I don't know how a lot of guys do it if they're going to all those things. I'm not saying they are. I'm sure they're not. They're probably setting up their boundaries and they can't do them all. And I speak from a pastor because we're looking at Pastor Moses here, but this applies to your life as well. I believe that Satan wants to get the body of Christ so busy in busy work that you can't do your pastoral duties. Mark, what do you mean? I'm not a pastor. Well, in this sense, moms and dads of your home, are your kids being neglected? Are the things that you need to do, and there's balance. I think sometimes people use the family as an excuse to neglect God. I've heard that before. I can't come then. That's our family night. Well, why don't you make your family night a night that's not church night? So I've heard the other side too, where people use it, I believe, as an excuse to not come, and they can say, well, it's our family night, and then they feel okay about it because, you know, with family. But I've also seen it where they're so busy that they don't do anything with their family at all. And they're not spending time with them and doing the things that we need to do in our homes, pastoral duty, husbands and wives spending time together. Husbands, are you so busy you don't have time to spend any time with your wife? And I guess it can go the other way. I know it can, but we need to make sure that we do that. And the same thing, you know, again, as pastors, we have to deal with this. And, you know, just as normal people, we have to deal with this as well. We have to make sure that we're not so busy that we can't do what we're supposed to do. Moses was so busy that there's no way he could ever prepare for the people any kind of message or anything from God. Why? Because he was people lined up. Notice verse 14. So Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people. He saw this. He watched this happen. He's here with Zipporah and the kids, and it's good to see Moses finally because they've been gone a long time, and there's been all this going on. Certainly, they're going to be able to spend some time together at some point and all day long, you know. Clock-out time comes, you know, and there's really a clock-out time for ministry, but I'm just using an example. 5 rolls around, 6 rolls around, 7 rolls around, 8 didn't give us what time, but all the way into the evening. And he's still got lines of people, and who knows when they finally had to cut it off and say, well, you know what, just have to start again tomorrow. He's watching this, and he said to Moses when he finally came home, it doesn't say that, but I'm saying that, what is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? Or stand, let me rephrase that. Why do all the people stand before you morning until evening? Because, well, it's the pastor, and I need to see the pastor. And here's another thing that I think is very common in the body of Christ, and I understand it, especially for younger believers. Yes, you want to see your pastor, but some people feel like that only the pastor can help them. I don't want to see an elder. I don't want to pray with an elder tonight. It's got to be Pastor Mark. Guys, every leader here has a connection to God. And God has set his authority structure up in such a way that whoever prays for you, if you want somebody to pray for your leadership, God hears that prayer. You know, God's going to go, okay, wait, there's a prayer coming. Oh, that's just Jim. Never mind. That's just Brian. Just let that one go. That's whatever. He doesn't say that, does he? When the prayer comes up, he goes, wow, that's Brian. Okay, listen. All right. You got it. God begins to move. That's Jim. All right. I got it. God begins to move. You see what I'm saying? It's not like he waits up and goes, okay, well, where's the pastor? Where's Mark? I was going to heal her tonight. Where'd he go? Man, all right, well, she'll have to wait till she gets to him next week. The line was too big, right? Isn't it a place of maturity when we come to realize that it's whoever we get to, God hears us? So Moses had to learn that. The people had to learn that. There's a lot of lessons going on for Wilderness Chapel here that they had to learn. And now God uses Jethro here, you know, to kind of encourage him in this. So you can't be doing this. And so Moses answers. He goes, why are you doing this? And look at again, verse 15. So Moses said to his father-in-law, well, it's because the people come to me to inquire of God. Come on, I'm the pastor, Jethro. I'm the pastor. Of course they're coming to me. He says, when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and the law. So it only stands to reason that he would think this way, and certainly some of them should, just not over 2 million. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, look at this line right here. The thing that you do is not good. Moses, you have got to carve out some time for study and prayer. You have got to carve out some time for your wife and kids. It's already rocky with Zipporah. The kids hadn't had their dad around for a while. And besides that, when are you ever going to breathe, you know? You need to go and sit down at Morbucks ever so often and have something and read your Bible, and which is what I call it because you got to have more bucks to go there, but... But the bottom line is you need to do something where you can be alive and refreshed. Moses, do you ever do anything that's fun? You ever golf? No, Lord, it's all a sand trap. Well, you know, find something that you like to do and do something that's fun. Have some fun. Have time with your family. Have prayer time. Have study time. Yes, meet with the people. Yes, have appointments. Yes, do all this stuff. But Moses, you've got to be balanced. If you're not balanced, you're going to drop out of the ministry. Did you know that some 1,200 pastors a month drop out of the ministry? According to Jim Cymbalis, I haven't seen the statistics, but I have no reason to doubt what he says. Some 1,200, I believe it's 1,200, it might have been 15, I'll go on the low end. Some 1,200 a month drop out of the ministry because they're burned out. Why do you think they're burned out? Because from morning until evening, the people are inquiring to see them. They're so busy in the work of the ministry that they're neglecting their personal time with God. They're neglecting their family. They're neglecting everything. Finally, they just say, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. And they're done. How much better to pace yourself? And again, I make the application here from pastoral, but can you see the application in your personal lives? You have got to learn to pace yourself. Now, I think, you know, again, you can go the other way and do nothing and make excuses. I know it goes both ways, but we've got to seek God about what the proper balance is and find that proper balance. The thing that you do is not good. Look at verse 18. This is interesting to me. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You're not able to perform it by yourself. Why both you and the people? Here's why. You're going to be worn out because you're constantly got this flow of ministry without balancing your life. They're going to be worn out because they're tired of waiting to see the pastor. When can I go to lunch with this guy? When do I finally get to meet with him? I remember hearing Joe Foch one time saying, he said, you know, people ask me all the time. There's like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. I don't know how big the church is in Philadelphia. But he said on a regular basis, people invite him to eat or to go to lunch. And he's like, well, if you don't mind waiting like a year and 6 months, because I've got 3,000 others in front of you. That people don't understand that. They just don't realize. It's not that he doesn't want to eat with everybody. He can't. He can't. He just can't do everything. And I think sometimes I've turned down some engagements to pastoral things here in town where it's almost like you can hear the sigh on the other end. He's not interested. He won't come. No, I'm very interested. I just can't handle more than what I've got on my plate. Maybe some guys can, but I can't today. I've got to teach tonight. And so I just can't. I'm sorry. You know, and so Moses had to learn these things. He had to just say, you know what? I've got to make sure that I'm ready to prepare for God's people. I mean, is it better to pour into one or to pour into 200 that night? Is it better to pour into one or to pour into 400 or 500 that Sunday morning? You've got to decide, you see. And God will, again, it's pretty obvious what the answer is, but there's the balance. I think we've said enough on that. But he said, you're not able to perform this by yourself. It's too much. And the people will get frustrated too. So they need some other elders. They need some other pastors. They need some other avenues. They need men's group, women's group. They need some care teams. Other people that can do things in the body because, you know, not only can you going to be worn out, but people are going to slip through the cracks. You're not going to be able to take care of all the needs that need to be met. So he says, listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. So again, notice this. Here it is. Here's the two main things, the call of the pastor. Notice what he says. First, he tells Moses, you need to be standing before God for the people. Translation, you need to be in prayer. And you need to be praying for the people. And lifting the church up and lifting their needs up and praying for them. Make sure you do that first. If you're counseling all day long and doing all the busy work and running to Sam's all the time, when are you going to pray? So make sure that you're praying for the people, number one. Next, he tells Moses that he needs to be focused on teaching God's people. Notice the statutes and the laws. We would say the word of God. And teaching them how they should walk or work with God. Translation, secondly, Moses needs to be teaching them from the word of God and explaining how they're to live it out. Here's what the word says. Here's how you do it. The job of a pastor. And so this is really the duty of the pastor, spending time in God's word and prayer, teaching the people so they know how to live for God. How many times in the Gospels do we see Jesus in prayer and then him gathering the people afterwards? And it says, Jesus began to teach the people. He sat down in the boat, you know, got off the water and began to teach the people. Everyone was gathered in this place. He began to teach the people. He got up early that morning and went to pray. And by the time they found him, where have you been, Jesus? Everybody's looking for you. Remember that? I can imagine the Lord just kind of smiling, shaking his head. Don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business? What are you not getting, guys? Hadn't you figured it out yet? Interesting. The pastor has to be a part of it. This is not saying the pastor is not a part of these things. Really, here's the thing I would say. Priorities. And I bring this now to your personal life and your family. Priorities, priorities, priorities. What are your priorities? Set them in order. Figure them out. If you have to put it on paper, put them on paper. You know, first comes God, then comes my wife and kids, you know, then comes the ministry. The ministry's third in my life. God is first, my family's second, the ministry's third. You know, the Bible says you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than an unbeliever. I've got to make sure that I'm, you know, pouring into them. I'm, you know, whatever, sharing the word with them, praying for them, being with them as well, and then the other stuff. And so all these, and you figure out your priorities, and then you go for it. And whatever you can do, and whatever you can't do, you can't do. He gives Moses the scoop here. And notice he says in verse 21, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And then let them judge the people at all times. Now, again, notice he tells him to appoint leaders over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, over tens. And he does this, again, so the people won't be worn out and the needs will be met. That was really the whole heart behind the care teams. You know, I mean, the care team thing, it's still developing and still trying to get it going and all that. But the whole heart behind it is, let me tell you how already it's awesome. It's already working awesomely. Is that a word? I don't know. It's not, I just made it up. I do that sometimes. That's Greg. I make words up, but that's okay. As long as you understand what I'm saying, I'm not worried about it. I had somebody share with me tonight. There was a need. They came and reported to me about how they'd already ministered to that need. And I'm going, it was taken care of. And it wasn't even a call to me to go do. Do you see how great that is? You know how wonderful it is to have somebody come up and say, guess what? There's this going on. Boom, boom, boom. I've already seen them. I prayed with them. I did that. You're like, wow. Thank you, God. And thank you to that person. I'm blessed by that. Because I realize with what I've got going on, I couldn't have done that, not at that moment. And yet what happens is now a need, a concern, or whatever is being met, and it didn't even involve the staff. Isn't that cool? See, this is how the body of Christ is supposed to work. Sometimes the needs are met before the pastor even knows about them. And the pastor should know about what's going on. You know, the Bible says, know the state of your flocks. But at the same time, things can happen so quick, you don't know. I've had people call me before and say, I'll brag on Brian a little bit. He's called me before and said, hey, look, so-and-so, I've already seen him in the hospital and prayed with him. There's none of you to go over there. I'm going, I didn't even know they were in the hospital. Brian's already seen them, prayed with them, and come back. And I'm like, thank God for that. Well, how blessed I am for that. How blessed this body is for that. You follow me? This is how the body of Christ is supposed to work. We spread it out. Everybody does their part, and people don't get left out and fall through the cracks. Again, that's the mindset behind the care team thing. So people don't fall through the cracks. And he says here, he says, you know, put people over hundreds, thousands, fifties, tens, and so that we have all these different groups. And notice the type of men that he tells Moses should be appointed in these positions. It reminds me a lot of Acts chapter 6, when they're picking the deacons and the servants during the body of Christ. And in 1 Timothy, when they talk about the qualifications of the elder. Notice he says first, able men, that are men that are able to do it. You know, find people that can do the job. They're mature enough. Number two, men who fear God. I mean, they really fear God. They know one day they're going to stand before him and give an account. Because if you get a man who knows one day he's going to stand before God and give an account, he's going to treat the body of Christ right. You know, you're not going to be mean to God's flock if you understand one day I've got to stand before God and answer for what I did. So men who fear God. Notice next, men of truth. That is people who believe the Bible. They believe God's word. And lastly, notice men who hate covetousness. You know, people that aren't looking for cash and to be rich. I mean, how many pastors today would that disqualify like that? You have some that brag about the fact that God's given them all this. And if you were as holy as them, God would give it to you. And they're going to get more because they're so righteous. I'm like, you know what? That guy shouldn't even be in the pulpit. Because no understanding at all of what the word really teaches. So if you don't have the qualifications and proven leaders of integrity, you know, it would be worse for the ministry. Because now that's not only for the sake of your ministry and how it's going to look, but it's you're representing God. So it says, make sure that you're representing God. You have able men, men who fear God, men of truth, and men who hate covetousness because they're representing the Lord. And we need to make sure that God is properly represented. And notice he says how it works here. He says, let them judge the people, verse 22, at all times, and it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, and for they will bear the burden with you. Now notice how it will work. If the smaller issues, and in essence, the things that can be handled are handled, you know, at the tens, at the hundreds, at the thousands, the people that are delegated to do the ministry, they handle it there. Sometimes it never even makes it to the pastor or even the staff. It's dealt with before they even hear about it. He's saying, so let it be done. And if they can't deal with it, then they go to somebody. You know, if somebody in the care team can't figure it out, it goes to an elder. If an elder can't figure it out, he comes to, you know, Brian or I. You know, comes to Brian. So it works its way on up. Comes to me or whatever. And then so there you have this whole structure that's set up so these things can be dealt with. And so God has set it up in such a way that it frees Moses up while the body's doing the work. See, Moses is freed up to study, pray, and teach them all that he can do and all that God's called him to do. So if you do this, it's going to be okay. If you do this thing and God so commands, then you'll be able to endure and all these people also will go to their place in peace. And so Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, rulers over tens. You know, Moses set up his care teams or his different elders over the ministries, however you want to look at it. So they judged the people at all times, and the hard cases they brought to Moses. So they handled what Moses didn't need to be involved in. Then they handled, if Moses needed to be involved, he got involved. But they judged the small cases themselves. Let them go to Moses, just take care of it. And then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Now, I suffice it to say for tonight, you know, guys, we need to learn to delegate. And I'm speaking to myself, you know, first of all, because it's something I know that, you know, I really believe this. I don't know what God has for this fellowship. I'm not, my goal is not to have this many people by that time. I don't have a goal of how big I want the church to be. My goal is to do the best I can with the abilities I have so that when I stand before the Lord, he can say, you know what, you did your best with what I gave you. I gave you this many talents, that much ability, and you used it for the kingdom. That's my goal, okay? I'm not saying that I wouldn't love to see God do whatever he wants to do. But I will say this, I do believe that this church over the years is going to grow. I mean, I look around on Wednesday night. This is a good turnout. This is a large crowd for a Wednesday night. A lot of churches don't even have a Wednesday night. You know why? Because people aren't coming. What's my point in that? The goal is not necessarily to grow as much as the goal is to make sure that we can take care of the people God sends us. And if we don't know the word, and if we're not in ministry, and we're not involved in doing our part that God's called us to do, the body of Christ working together so nobody slips through the cracks, God's not going to give us more, and we're never going to be able to advance to what God wants us to do. So we've got to learn to take care of our own. And then as we do that, and we add more people that are doing that, whether it be more of the body, and whether it be more staff, and whether it be more pastors over time, then God will entrust us with more ministry to be able to do. And part of that is learning to delegate. So I speak to myself tonight, first and foremost, but the application you guys can make in your own life. I want to challenge you tonight. What is your church at home like? What's your church at home like? I'm not going to try to lay a trip on you. I'll leave that to you. You figure that out between you and God. But what is your church at home like? Are you pastoring your family? Are you doing in your home what a pastor does in a church? And I'm not talking about, you know, everybody has to show up at a certain time wearing suits and ties, because we don't do that here anyway. But I'm just saying, are you loving your wife? Are you loving your kids? Are you ministering to your family? And all of us could say, you know, hey, we failed at that. You know what? I'm not trying to beat the dads up. You go, wives, are you doing what you're called to do as a wife? Are you loving your husband? Are you loving your kids? So we can all beat each other up. That's not my point. I'm saying we need to make sure that we learn to structure our lives in such a way and delegate our lives in such a way that we have our priorities in order. God, family, ministry. God, family, ministry. I believe that is the model we see in Scripture. I believe if we do that, then God's going to bless us. And I think that maybe some of us need to apply that, because we're probably so busy that we don't have time to do anything but what we're doing. And how sad it would be, and I really will finish with this, but how sad it would be to spend our whole life being very, very busy at our work and even being successful and maybe having something to show for it financially, but not even knowing our family and then dying. It's kind of sad to me. I'd rather have less and have those times with my family and the body of Christ, and then celebrate forever in the kingdom because we had our priorities right. You know, guys, life goes by quick, doesn't it? It is flying by. And it only goes faster. Some of the engine revs louder the older I get. You know, you start out in first. You're like, come on. You know, it's a little jerky. Let's get this thing going. You get second, all right. We're getting a little good, you know. And, you know, kind of hitting the teen years. You get into third, you know. You're kind of cruising in your 20s. You get into fourth, you know, your 30s. And if you got a fifth gear or whatever, you know, and whatever. And then you just, it zooms by. And then you fly till you get to about, you know, whatever, 80. And then start gearing down and die. There's our future. So whatever gear you're in, hey, how about let's live it right with the Lord and our family and do what God's called us to do. Amen.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and His awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for His people. His love and care for them is what compels Him to do unheard acts to prove that He's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for His people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and He wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and His unrelenting loyalty to His people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table.
come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.